service this morning, or shall we say the continuation of an exciting service. God has been here already. He is here now, and he will continue to be here for this service. If you could stand, we're going to pray this morning. We're going to open up the service in prayer. We're here to connect with God, to hear from God. And so it makes sense that let's start with talking to God. Okay, let's just pray that God would have his way. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've been here 1,000 times. It doesn't matter. God wants to speak to you this morning. He wants to connect with you this morning. Let's just pray that our hearts are open and ready to be connected to God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your spirit, for your presence, God, for your love and your grace, God. Thank you for being here today, God. We pray that you would speak into our hearts and minds. Help us to understand what you have for us today. Help us to leave thinking differently, thinking, being changed by your spirit today, God. Moving forward this week with a new thought, a new process, a new way. God, let your will be done today. Let there be less of us and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We have a couple announcements. If you're a guest, if you're online or you're here, this is your first time, right? We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. You can go to this bit.ly link you see up there, or you can go out back to the booth. You might get a little card. And it's nothing. We're not looking for your, we're not going to call you about your car warranty being expired. You know, you get enough of those, right? But instead, we just want to get to know you a little bit better. Maybe even offer you a Bible study if you're looking to learn more about God's word. So if you could fill that out, we'd appreciate it. And you, once again, you could do that online as well. And also this morning, if you're looking to give or would like to give, we have a lot of options to give. You can give online. Just go to cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person. There's a little box out back. No pressure. It's there. You put it in if you want. You can also give by mail if you're still liking to pay for stamps. I mean, using the mail. And also you can give with the app. I don't have my phone on me, but there's a mobile giving. It's called the Church Center app. If you'd like to give or feel compelled or like you'd like to give to the service or to this church, to God's kingdom, you can do it one of those ways. Couple things coming up. I don't know if it's because it's spring or summer, but it's exploding. We got things happening. There are opportunities for you to connect. The first one is this Saturday, April 29th, is the Ladies Crafting event. Okay, that's 7 to 9 p.m. in the Kids Regis room. So that's one thing that's going on. And hey, guess what? More than one thing can go on in a weekend, right? We all do that. Next Sunday, April 30th, is the Kids Crusade, God's Operation, put on by our Sunday school team. We're super excited about that. And the children and the Sunday school will be facilitating this service. I did have to make sure that the Sunday school team know that there could not be flames. So I don't know what's coming up, but I did have to make that clarification. But there will be no kids' classes as the Kids Crusade starts right away at 10. So if you usually come here at 11... the service will be about halfway through. You might be a little bit confused. That morning, service starts at 10 and goes to about 11:15, 11:30, but it's all kids. But if you're like me and you understand better by thinking like a kid thinks, you're going to learn something from God in this service. And if you are in New Life classes, there will still be New Life classes that morning, just so you're aware. Come expecting great things for that service. And if you have a child, we'll have the first 3 or 4 rows reserved, and they can sit up front and be close to all the action. No flames. No flames for the side. We don't got to contact the insurance company. A couple more things. You'll see a booth out back, higher ground hiking. Find Brother Ward if you're interested in that. And this month, there's two things. We have our annual Mother's Day service is happening on May 14th. You're seeing this group of slides. Classes will be normal at 10, and then Mother's Day service will start at 11. I'm super excited because Sister Brittany Waters will be speaking, and God has a message that's on her heart for us. But there will be photo booths and flowers and drawings. Bring your mom. Men, wear something nice and offer to take a picture. I know, we all hate taking pictures. Offer to take a picture, okay? There'll be a little photo booth for you to use, okay? And then lastly, this year we've been doing a family focus series. In the first quarter, we talked about priorities and boundaries. We're starting a new quarter, and this quarter is about spiritual disciplines. This Wednesday night is our first lesson. It's going to be on prayer for the family. prayer for the family, part of spiritual disciplines. And then this Saturday on the 29th, yes, there's a ladies crafting, but there's also a family sharing and prayer event. So we're going to be sharing and having fun. If you've been there before, there's no agenda. There's no food. You bring something if you want to bring it. You bring a game if you want to bring a game. Hang out. We might even be outside if the weather's good. It's just a chance. I keep calling it an opportunity for community. That's all it is. Bring a friend if you want. It's just hanging out. But we're also going to take a moment, just a quick moment to pray, to talk to God as families. So that's the 29th. It goes from 5 till whenever people leave, which is usually 8 to 9 because they all have kids. So let's all stand this morning. There's a lot going on. God is moving. God is wanting to connect with you, to be in your heart, to speak to you. And it all starts here. Worship with our team this morning as we worship God.
You ready to worship this morning?
Holy Lord, holy, holy, Father, you are holy. There is no one else like you.
You are faithful, yes, you are faithful, faithful.
Father, you are faithful. We have put our trust.
We pray. praise you this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Get up and praise the Lord. Such a sweet, sweet, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. I am just so very, at times you just come in and you just get overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Ghost. And that's awesome. That's just an awesome knowing that the God that said, "Let there be light," is here. In our individual hearts and in our lives. It is so great to be here this morning. I'm going to allow you to be seated for just a moment. Next Sunday, we have our Kids Crusade, our Kids Weekend. And remember, service starts at 10, okay? Pastor Peter went over that. But also next Sunday, after our Sunday morning service, we're going to be having a cake reception or a cupcake reception for Jacob and Alyssa Zimmerman that recently been married and moved here. They're not here with us this morning. But just remember that. Get to meet them. We know Jacob, but we've watched him grow from just a little lad to a 6'6" or 6'7" or whatever he is. And but a chance to congratulate them and also meet his new bride, Alyssa. She's from Las Vegas. And so great to have them here. Also, my wife and I, we're going to be in and out a bit in the month of May. And we have work week up at camp every year, so we'll be up there a few weekends and such. And so our schedule is going to be a little bit mixed up. So the month of May is actually a special month because it's a month that, as churches all across America, will celebrate and give honor to those that run their worship and their music programs. And I would like to, just before I disappear out of town for a few weeks, I'm going to do this a little bit early, but we have an incredible music team here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I'm so very, very thankful. And I would like Sister Abby Powell, if she would. She oversees our music. She does a phenomenal job, and she's a tiny little gal, but she's got some spunk. I just want to tell a little story here. I remember years ago working on a job. I was working as a plumber, and one of the guys that worked with us, name was Mike Lowe, and Mike Lowe was a very formidable individual. He had a huge, like 54-inch chest and a 30-inch waist. The dude was like a triangle. And we went to this job, and the lady warned us she had a little Scotty Terrier that was like a shoebox size, and she warned us not to let the dog out. We show up there, Mike lets the dog out accidentally, and I hear this bumping and jumping upstairs, and I hear him yelling. And I run upstairs, and here's Big Mike jumping, and he's got this little terrier hanging on his pants leg, and he's going like this. It won't let go. It won't let go. I said all that to say Abby has that type of a tenacity. When she sets her mind to something or sets her mind to something, she's not going to let go of it. And it's very evident in how she operates just about every aspect of her life. And I appreciate that so very much. Sister Abby, we love you and we appreciate you. God bless you. I hope I didn't embarrass you here. Thank you. And next we have the dad of tenacity. I love Brother Galen Thompson. I love Brother and Sister Thompson. Galen and Ann Thompson are such a blessing to this church. And they were here yesterday. We had a leadership seminar, and I'm so thankful to have their voice, and not just in my life personally, but in the life of our church. Brother Galen, come preach to us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Amen. That's my baby. Congratulations, Abby. Well deserving. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you today. And yesterday was a tremendous honor to be with the leadership of the church. And I'd like to say a great big thank you to the pastoral team and the leadership team of this church for entrusting us with the privilege to be able to come and to teach and to pour our hearts into you. That's a tremendous and very humbling honor. So thank you. And also for the privilege to speak this morning and for Bishop Grant being here. It's humbling to preach in your presence. But it's so good to see you and have you here today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I feel his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the worship, oh God, that brought us into your presence. Let us linger, Lord, in the presence through your word, and let your presence, oh God, be a signet upon the word, overshadow what's about to happen, and continue to do your work this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And also, I'd like to honor my wife, to see if you can stand so they can see you. I wouldn't be able to do what we do without her. Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I don't know if you're typically stand for the reading of the word. If that's that you're accustomed to doing that, please do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll be reading the entire chapter, but don't get scared. It's not real long. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Let's say work of faith. Work of faith. Labor of love. Labor of love. And patience of hope. Patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had into you, and how you turned to God from your idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Heavenly Father, again, we just simply ask, Lord Jesus, let your presence, O God, settle upon us and minister to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our family, we were raised that if anything came in the mail that didn't have your name on it, it wasn't for you. I heard a few amens, but okay. And if you grab a personal letter and start reading it, you can probably come up with a whole lot of juicy thoughts and gossip. But the reality is you may completely miss the whole thing because you don't know the context. What we're doing is we're starting in a letter. And without understanding the context, we don't often grasp the depth of what was taking place. And I don't think I probably can do justice to it because I don't know everything about, excuse me, the background and the context. But there's a few things that we can find because we learn the story of Thessalonica and the church, the starting of the church in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And it starts in verse 1, reading down through verse 10. It says, now when they, talking about Paul and his entourage, his team, church planting team, passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating, just like what happened in our adult class this morning, that the Christ had suffered and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus who I'm preached to you is Christ." And the Bible then says, and some, or Paul writing says, and some, or excuse me, Luke writing says, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Jason was the one who was hosting Paul and his group. Knowing that they were staying there, the riot burst through the doors with a goal of beating and coming and arresting and doing harm to those who were bringing the gospel. But when they did not find them there, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. When we don't accept the gospel, and we don't accept it, oftentimes we have a choice." Not often, we have a choice. We're either going to turn to, or we'll find ourselves turning against. It's a choice. And it's the very Jews who were listening and those who were not persuaded who turned into a mob. And then they start throwing government stories and that Caesar's the king, and the truth of the matter is that these people hated Caesar, but they will use anything to manipulate their cause. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security or taken a payment, posted bond from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews there. Grasping this story, only 3 weeks, 21 days, 24 days, we don't know what day it was in the week, but after only 3 weeks, Paul is forced to flee from an angry mob, snuck out of the city in the middle of the night. The New Thessalonian believers hid Paul, and then, as I said, ushered him out and sent him on to the city of Berea, some 45 miles to the southwest. Due to the short time he had and was able to spend in Thessalonica, Paul became very concerned about that church. He tried to return there again and again, as he says in the second chapter of Thessalonians when he's writing to him. He's assuring him, "Listen, I didn't just abandon you. I tried multiple times, but Satan prevented me." So you can kind of feel the heart. I mean, this is his baby that was born, and it was born immediately into affliction. It was born immediately into persecution, and now he's taken out of the picture. He tries to go back, but he cannot make it back. So Paul sends Timothy to check on them from Berea and to encourage them in the faith, which we find in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Because Paul, and it's also from the third chapter, was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted them and that his labors among them had been in vain. Paul moves on from Berea and goes to Athens, and from Athens he goes on to the city of Corinth to plant a church in Corinth, and time passes, and now we're possibly 2-3 months down the road, and Timothy returns to Paul, bearing good news about the thriving church in Thessalonica. And it was there in Corinth, after finally waiting this length of time, that he gets this good news, that he sits down and he begins to pen. "My heart has been aching to ministering, and I've been withheld, and darkness has inhibited it. And I've gotten some great, great news from him. And he begins to pen this letter, probably the first letter that Paul wrote. And it was written so early, well, it was his second ministry journey, but nonetheless, it would really constitute to be literally one of the first books even written in the New Testament. So he wrote them 1 Thessalonians to encourage them and to explain to them about the day of the Lord, the things he wasn't able to stay on and to give clear direction to. Now that we've given you the background, let's listen to the opening words of his letter to the Thessalonian church. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." And when it talks about an election by God, what he's saying is you were selected out of and to an outcome and a purpose. I've seen your work, your labor of love, and your patience. And he's letting them know that they were elected. God saw something in this group of people that he could trust to a level that they could be born as a church into affliction. But almost immediately become so renowned in their standing in the face of horrific circumstances, so that he ends the chapter by saying, I don't even have to tell, I can't tell anybody because everybody's already heard the story. Wherever I go, everybody's talking about the Thessalonians and what's happening, how your faith and your works and all that you've done are spread all over. He was saying that God has now used you in the midst of your circumstance to spread the gospel further than I could ever have spread it. So he points to these three Christian virtues that reappear throughout Paul's writings: faith, love, and hope. And for the sake of the Thessalonians and for the sake of anybody in any church, these three are absolutely intertwined: faith, love, and hope. Inseparable things that are vital to the strength and virtues of the church. And probably down through the years, more sermons have been preached about faith. More sermons have been preached about love. Probably hope is the least mentioned in sermons of the three virtues. What is hope? In the Hebrew, the word hope literally is accord, C-O-R-D, not accord, but accord. Probably originally twisted and stretched, then of tension and of enduring and waiting. Hope is accord. A cord that will be stretched but will endure. There's going to be tension, but we don't like it. But it's the tension that proves why you're holding the rope. It gives you the calm assurance that irregardless of what you're going through, it is going to withstand. It's going to bear up under tension. I think of a couple of stories. One happened many, many years ago, and one just happened a couple of weeks ago. Many, many years ago, just a young lad, I don't remember, fairly young, probably 9 years old, something like that. My dad and my brother and I were taking a hike in the woods north of La Crosse along the banks of the Mississippi, up along the bluffs, and we came to a path. We were just walking on a deer path. deer trail. And a deer trail is pretty narrow for those who get out and walk in the woods. And it went to a place where that deer path came across the front of the hill, which was completely exposed. And it was fairly vertical on one side and fairly vertical on the other side. And you just followed that deer trail across there. And it was nothing but grass going up and grass going down a little ways and then some rocks and a drop off. And I don't know what I was doing. Sometimes I still don't know what I'm doing. Because unfortunately I have more than one of these stories in my life. But somehow walking that trail about this wide, coming across there with a drop off here and up there, I stumbled, I don't know. Probably distracted. And it fell. I didn't fall uphill. And as I fell, as anybody would do, your fingers are grabbing. And I grabbed a hold of the grass. So there I was holding on by the grass. But I had a father. He didn't walk over. You stupid kid, you ought to know better. Kick that hand off. Kick that hand off. Serves you right. Do you know what my father did? All those twists of muscles from many years working in the railroad and hard labor. Reached down, he grabbed a hold of one of my arms, and he picked me up over the precipice and pulled me up to safety. So I'd go to school and talk about how my dad can bend iron. I don't know if he could or not, but my brother and I watched one day when he got his pickup truck, which was a Datsun for those who were way back in the day. He got his Datsun pickup truck stuck. And my brother and I watched as he went down to the back of that pickup truck. He grabbed a hold of one of the corners, picked it up, and moved it about 2 inches. And he kept doing that an inch or two at a time until he got it onto some good ground and he drove it away. And we're like, don't mess with Dad. He picks up pickup trucks. The second story, something just happened just a couple of weeks ago. My son-in-law, Keith Manley, and I were in a hike in South Central Missouri, a very hilly country. And as we were walking along, we came on this path, and I looked off to my left, and it would have been very easy to miss it. But I saw a massive tree. And I noticed that it had some weird formation on the side of it. And I stopped and I looked, and there was a chain coming out of the other side of the tree. Somebody somewhere, some many years back, on the other side of that tree was a ravine. It didn't take a lot to figure out why the chain was there. When somebody needed hope for some kind of a situation and they were down in a ravine, they looked up and somehow they figured out whatever I needed to get out of that ravine, that big tree can withstand. We can tie something to it. We can test it with a big set of chains that here, all these years later, it was just a chain coming out of the tree because the tree had grown around the chain that had been put there by someone who knows how many years ago. That's hope. Whereas faith is laying hold of the promises of God for the present. Hope is the present laying hold of the promises of God for the future. They both take faith. You can't separate them. For it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, now faith, now I understand now there means now based upon what I've already said, but it's now faith. It's the present. Now faith is the substance. Think about this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't separate these. The word substance means, it's a compound word, sub and stance. It's saying faith is the substance. It's the ground that someone's standing on where their faith can branch and shoot forth, but it's all upon what you're standing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And it goes on, it says, and the evidence of things not seen. Evidence, the Greek word denotes a putting to the test, examining the purpose of proof. What is it saying? The evidence. What is the evidence? Give me the proof. I need the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence, it's the proof of things that aren't seen. What is it talking about? I've been down this road before. I've heard testimonies of other people around this audience who've talked about what God did for them. And even though what I am in is an absolute impossible situation, I, in my present, have a hope because of what I know has been tested and what has been proven over and over and over again. I have hope. Hope is not some form of escapism or wishful thinking. Hope is active, not passive. To a Christian, hope means calmness of mind in the midst of a trial or wild uncertainty. A willing endurance that actively discovers a personal Christ-like formation. Wait. That active discovers, willing endurance that actively discovers a personal Christ-like formation that is the object for the endurance. Have you been through a trial? Have you been tested? And it's not so much that you're being tested, it's that through the trial, you're proving. And when it's proven, the character of what you're trusting becomes your character. And the next time that you face that situation, you can say, it worked before, it can work again. And when someone else around you is facing that situation, you can say, come with me. I got something you can grab a hold of. It's been proven in my life. It's been proven in many lives. Will you come and get a hold of this? It's wrapped around a tree that's never going to be moved, that's rooted and grounded, that's stronger than anything you can possibly face. And so it becomes a Christ-like formation through that trial. And it ultimately is what gives us a hope for eternity. And Paul himself said to the Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You have to see, I am anchored to something way beyond this flimsy here and now. And if you're here today with anxiety in your heart, and our world is filled with anxiousness and hopelessness right now, and what the world is really looking for is they're looking for hope. And that is a dangerous thing, because that's what it is, the prime place for an antichrist to step onto the scene. But more important, that's our problem. We're looking at it as an opportunity for an antichrist, where the reality is the opportunity is for Christ, not the antichrist. Because what the world wants, and the answer is found in him. And I've read the back of the book, and he says he's going to defeat the antichrist. And we're the people who are going to show the world what true hope is in a time and a world of uncertainty. When everything goes upside down, we walk with calmness of mind. If our future is not secured and satisfied by God, if we do not possess and lay hold on the Comforter, then we're going to be excessively anxious. Several years ago, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw a dark cloud. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here before. I may have. I saw a dark cloud coming right across the United States. Really low to the ground. Moving really fast. And it was a very low cloud. Very, very dark. And I heard the Lord speak and say, this is fear that I am allowing and I'm bringing. And then he told me it's going to hit the world and the church the same. Why? I was puzzled by that. Wait, we're the church. Do we think that because we're the church that we're exempt? How is he ever going to expose the real from the fake unless he puts both through the test? And through the test, it exposes to the whole world the difference between those who claim to have hope and to those who really have hope. It'll come to the place where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And when everything that can be shaken will be shaken, the Bible helps us to understand, and we can understand, that those who stand in that hour is the testimony to the whole world. What's going to be? It's going to be a church of Thessalonica that's screaming out a testimony wherever you go. Oh my goodness, everything that's going on. Have you guys heard about what's going on in Thessalonica? Have you heard what this church was just born in the middle of? And the whole, he said, I can't go anywhere without people talking about it. So I want to point out one more thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Paul repeats these three virtues in the same order later on in this letter. He says, but concerning, listen to this, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. When they're saying peace, here is your hope. Here's your hope. Grab a hold of this sociological thing. Grab a hold of the government. Grab a hold of this new financial system. Grab a hold of this. Grab a hold of that. You're going to have peace. He's saying, then cometh sudden destruction. He's talking to that church way back at that time. He says, you don't have a need for me to write to you about this stuff. You already know this. He says, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, so they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you. You see, COVID came along, and what we discovered is that COVID was designed and created to take out people who had pre-existing conditions. It also happened spiritually. Those with pre-existing conditions, most of them aren't with us, and we pray for them that they will rejoin us. And what the Lord is doing is he separates some things. But as things happen, it shouldn't overtake us. Instead of us being hit by the wave, the same time the world is being hit by the wave, we ought to be riding the wave, hanging on to our rope. Showing the world you can be out in front of this. There's nothing to be afraid of, because my hope isn't in this world. My hope isn't in my government. My hope isn't into this economical system. My hope is in something way beyond what's here. It's not just the here and now, but I've got something to hang on to. But listen to what he says, and I know I need to hasten on because it's already noon. He said that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of the light, sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let not us sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. And listen to what he says. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or die, sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are now doing. This is the same book, same letter, end of the book. You were born in this. You've been through it. There was a reason. It was part of his election. Because of the testimony that he was building to bring him glory through your testimony. And you have to understand, faith and love protect the heart. Faith and love protect the heart. But hope protects the head. It protects your thinking. And what the devil's job is to mess with your thinking. Everything that media does, everything that goes on is designed to stir into the experiences of all the emotion and fear within the heart of people. And what we need in this hour, because the scripture tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, as he thinks, so is he. What we need, church, in this hour is a helmet of hope. We need our thinking brought under control. We need our thinking preserved and protected. In the midst of a national abject hopelessness, Jeremiah shines forth as a beacon. In the middle of his lamentation, the middle chapter of his lamentation, this is what he writes. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. I don't care if people think there's something wacky about me because I'm talking to myself. But sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. This is the word for the church in this hour. Because he wants this church to be riding the wave and not hit by the wave. That this church will be a church that shines forth of a light that though goes far and wide so that people everywhere hear and understand and know this is what true hope is. And what is the hope? It's in Jesus Christ, who gives us calmness and peace in the midst of the storm. So he says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Talking to yourself. The Lord's my portion. This world is not my portion. The Lord is my portion. What's going on? I'm not part of this. My home is somewhere else. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. I must preserve my thinking. I must speak it to myself. And then he says, therefore will I hope in him. After he speaks to his own soul, the Lord is good unto him that wait on him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So I ask us today, do you feel hopeless? Are you filled with anxiety at the current events? Does what happens with the banks and all these things that are going on and trying to be passed through our legislature, My question to us then would be, what are you listening to? What are you fixating on? What are you talking about? Don't despair. We have hope. It's our opportunity to shine. Hope is not found, as I said, in this present system. But I want to point out in my conclusion of my message is that hope is paired with words like suffering, affliction, waiting, or like in our text, patience of hope. Our flesh does not like the circumstances that necessitate hope, but God uses those circumstances to make clear the great divide between those with hope and those without hope. There's another word that I find paired with affliction that helps bring meaning to the right and right thinking to our minds. And it's written to the Thessalonians in the second book, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes and says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope." Consolation is from the same root word, the same word as comfort. "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God and Father who loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace." Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word, and work. What he's teaching us here is that consolation comes from hope, and it's what we receive so that we can turn and give comfort to other people. And what keeps us from love and faith is that when we turn in anxiety, we only think of our own self and our own preservation. We'll never, never impact our neighbors and our world preserving ourselves, because that's what they're going to do. I'm not talking about being a fool, but I'm talking about getting a relationship with God now that protects our thinking and our mind. And with that strength, love, because he's got my back, because he's doing what he's doing for me, come with me. Grab a hold of it with me. And here's a helmet. You're going to need this. When you climb through this, you're going to need that security. And bring people through love and compassion. Because look what he's done for me. I don't deserve this. We sang it. I don't feel like that I'm fit for a king. But I'm singing hallelujah in the midst of my situation. And when the world sees it, they're going to grab onto it with you, because this is our hour. So the word that is translated as comfort is parakleo. Same word of paraclete, which is the comforter. It indicates, this is what the word indicates, that he will call us near to himself. The word comfort means he will call us near to himself. God's strategy is to cause our times of pain to become places of increased intimacy with him. When we hear and we respond to the drawings power of the Holy Spirit, then we find that the Lord has become in greater clarity and bigger in our minds and stronger than ever before. And amazingly, we begin to understand him in ways we never could have before. And we go when we've gone, except for when we've gone through that trial. So he is our present hope. Let's stand. Second Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, and verse 7. He's now writing to the church where he was planting when he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians. He said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that that as you are partakers of the suffering, so you will also be partakers of the consolation. You'll be partakers of the very thing that the world wants. Hope. So if you're here today and you do not have the Holy Spirit, which is the comforter, it probably is a scary world. And what makes the great divide is not just those who have experienced the comforter, but those who live with the comforter. And what he's saying to you today is, I'm not coming here as a fearmonger. I'm coming here to say, would you come down and grab a hold of it today? It's not me. It's he who's pulling. But it's a sure rope. In this hour, he's saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you hope. He will give you his Spirit, which will bring a peace that passes all understanding, that guides your heart through these times. If you don't have it, I ask you, as many here have, would you come and experience it? And I'll open up this side of the altar for those who'd like to come this morning and receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you've been focusing all the wrong things. I'm going to ask you to come, and I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today to grab a hold of a helmet that begins to protect your mind against the garbage of this world and the fear that begins to rise up. And have hope, because he's going to use you. He's going to use you to bring other people so the Lord can pull them in this hour. Hope leads to love and acts of faith. So will you come today? Heavenly Father, I pray for this audience and the people that are here today. It is no secret that our world is shaking. But my anchor holds in you. Lord, there's some people here today who don't have your Spirit, the Comforter. It's free to all who will come and turn from their own ways and turn to Christ. Will you come? I invite you come up to my right, your left. He wants to give you the Comforter today. If you're here today and the fears have overcome you, and it's time for you to make a commitment. Why? Because this very church, his desire is that it becomes the heralding testimony of hope. Would you come?
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before.
Oh, can't you feel it just dripping in this place? Hope, right here, right now. I felt it throughout the whole service. Everything begins to fade when you walk into his presence. What is that? That's the comforter. That's the hope. Don't just experience it on the outside. Experience it on the inside today. It'll be your guiding light. Will you reach out and take it today?
Weapon can harm me. your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit.
My victory, your spirit.
Praise the Lord, church. This is such a powerful, powerful, powerful word of God this morning. And we just have to remember where to put our hope in. I'm so thankful that I could put my hope in something that doesn't move, that doesn't change, that doesn't depend on which direction the wind blows or the tide of public opinion. But I put my hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you so very much, Brother Galen, for ministering, not just today, but yesterday, to our leadership team. And you, Sister Ann, we love and appreciate you so very much, and your family, Jordan and Abby. And remember, Wednesday evening is our family, special family service. Focus, family focus service. That'll be Brother Peter Sandin will be taking care of that for us. And I don't know about you, but these family focus services have really been a blessing in my life. And I hope they've been a blessing as well for you. We love you all, appreciate you all. Have an awesome, awesome week. Remember our Spanish service. They'll be in here in about 5 to 7 minutes, getting ready for their worship service. So please be aware of that. God bless you all, and we will see you back here Wednesday evening. Have a very blessed day.